Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Gym Ramble. I'm recording this the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So if you live in the United States, it is the week of Thanksgiving. I'm actually headed out of town on Wednesday. So there will not be an episode next week. This will be the last one for 2 weeks. And I'm really excited to jump into this topic because this is actually something that you guys voted on. We had a little poll going on my Instagram story, and the one by far that won was the topic of how social media has impacted how we view fitness, progress, and what's possible. Now, I am somebody who is 26 years old, right? So I did not grow up in the era before phones and social media. I kind of grew up with that era. But I will say that when I started my own fitness social media account way back in the day, I've had this thing forever. I think I started it in like 2015 when I hired my first coach and kind of got more into it and really was like, okay, I'm going to adopt this lifestyle change. That was when I really got onto the side of fitness social media, and it definitely was not what it is today. And so we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about how fitness, I think, has really evolved in terms of social media. You know, more social medias are popping up, more platforms. When I first got on, YouTube was really big and Instagram was just starting to gain traction. And now, of course, we have TikTok, which I really think is taking everything by storm. And then Instagram as well is still there, of course. I'm not on YouTube. I am on TikTok and Instagram. So those are the two that I'm going to be talking about most. But we are going to be talking about YouTube a little bit just because I think when it comes to my early years and really educating myself and learning about macros and training styles and hypertrophy and reverse dieting and things like that, I actually gained a lot of that knowledge from YouTube, where I feel like now a lot of people kind of gravitate towards TikTok. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit here too. But we're going to be starting with the good, because I do think there's a lot of good that comes with the fitness community in general. And that's really the first point, is community. Because I'll tell you what, when I started out on Instagram and really trying to adopt this fitness lifestyle, I did not have anybody around me in like my close proximity of friends who really was diving into it to the degree that I was, right? I had come from a background, and you can listen to my first two podcast episodes that goes more in depth about my journey, but I had really come from a background of playing volleyball, going straight into crash dieting, yo-yo dieting, 1200 calorie diets, living in the extremes. And so I had all of that experience that really fueled my desire to really make a lifestyle change for myself. And even when I had a coach, online coaching was so new. And I can make a whole podcast on like online coaching and all that jazz, but online coaching was so new. So at the Fit Breakthrough, we really value community, right? Like we have our team group chat, we have, you know, just a community type feel. There was not that when I was with my first coach. She was great, but it was, everything was over text. There were no Loom videos. There were no voice notes. I never really saw her in person. It was just, I emailed a check-in, I got an email back, and that was it. So I didn't know anybody else on the team, right? And I had hired her. She was actually more of an influencer and less of like having coach be her full-time job. So that's another point. But I very much lacked community. And I remember I was in college at the time and going to the gym. There was maybe only a handful of women who were weightlifting. And a lot of them became my friends. And I went through, and I've talked about this previously, but I competed a few times in college and bodybuilding competitions and stuff like that. And man, talk about going through prep and needing a community. I felt like I started to really seek that out on Instagram. And even today, I moved to San Diego. I didn't know anybody at the time other than the people who I had met through fitness social media. And I do feel like my trajectory in career from being in the corporate world to now being so incredibly blessed to have the community and the business of the Fit Breakthrough that, oh my goodness, I'm so grateful for. And I'm so glad I get to wake up every single day and do what I love and care for women who are in the community who I value and am inspired by every single day. I would not have had those things had I not had fitness social media, simply because other people who I was friends with, I saw what was possible. And I was like, oh, you know, online coaching doesn't really exist without social media because it's marketing, right? That's how you market. And like every good thing, there's also a bad thing that comes with that, which we'll get to in a second. But community is going to be first and foremost, right? I think with social media, with YouTube, with people promoting, you know, their educational sources and stuff like that, there's just a lot of education that you can really learn about, and you can even take, you know, courses and stuff like that by people who are well respected in the industry. Like, you can really get very, very specific high level education without going through and paying, you know, an arm and a leg to go through all this, you know, university stuff, right? Like, it's so valuable what you can learn from social media. And there are very well respected, educated individuals on this platform. And I think that it is so incredible, or I guess across the multiple platforms. So that's the first thing. The second thing that I think social media has been really good for is truly just normalizing lifting and other forms of training. Over the years that I've been on social media and specifically posting my fitness content, it has been such a powerful, wonderful thing to see women truly be afraid of weightlifting and think it's going to make them bulky, to leaning into it and understanding, okay, if I want to look toned, resistance training is key. Resistance training can also be really great for your skin elasticity, your bone density, you know, raising your basal metabolic rate, like all of these other things other than just feeling strong and even looking toned. But that's a big part of it too. And I think that it's just really nice that the conversation is leading in that direction these days. Not to say that other forms of training are bad by any means, but I do think it is more normalized to, you know, we have the term muscle mommy and like all these things now that definitely were not a thing in the 2015-16 era. I feel like it was a lot smaller of a group back then. And now everyone's like posting their training sessions and stuff like that. And I think it just is so wonderful to see it be so normalized now, because it should be, right? And I feel like a lot of the reason why people maybe didn't want to go to the gym is because they felt alone, whereas a class, you're with other people. So I feel like maybe social media bridges that gap to have people feel like, okay, I'm not actually alone in this. Even if you don't have a coach or something like that, like, you still have a community. And for a lot of people, posting on Instagram is like, or TikTok, is a way to kind of engage with the community and feel like, even though you might be going through the motions by yourself physically, you're not really alone. Like, you have your people who you like each other's stuff, you comment on each other's stuff. Like, I think that's really cool. And that's really empowering, because it really makes everybody seem like, hey, you know what, we can enjoy this niche thing together. And I think that that's very wonderful. Another reason why I think social media is good is because before social media, diet culture and everything was just fed to us by magazines and propaganda and marketing, right? Whereas now people can share their own, you know, quote, normal person, you know, what works for them. They're not a celebrity who's on the front cover of a magazine who now we're taking diet advice from, right? Like, oh, this celebrity's full day of eating, or what she ate on set every single day, like, make this for lunch at home, or this is what they eat in a day, right? Like, there's all this sexy marketing that I think happened specifically in the early, in the 90s and early 2000s that I think still exists to this day. I mean, you go to any store and you're going to see that BS on the front of a magazine. But I think people are a little bit more skeptical of that now because they have social media. And if, especially if you're like in the weeds of maybe looking up some of this stuff, you know that, okay, it's not about, you know, just having this boring meal plan or losing 20 pounds in 20 days or something crazy like that. And I think back in the day, a lot more people just bought into that because that was all they knew. Whereas now on social media, you have people sharing their experiences, what works for them. And there can be good in that, right? We're going to get to the bad in a second, but there can be good in that. You're just seeing more sides of it and you're able to dive a little bit deeper or a lot deeper than just what the magazines are telling you. And then again, a little like part B of that, quote, regular people are sharing their stories. So you see the mom who lost 80 pounds and is like, hey, I'm doing this. Here's what I did. You can do it too. Here's how I manage my time. It's not the celebrity who like has a chef and you're like, okay, that's great. But like, I can't do that. Like I'm busy. I have kids. I have a job. Like, all right, that's good for her. But what am I able to do? Right. So I think that has been really, really great. And I think too, part of this, before I go into the bad stuff, right? And that's not all the good. That's just kind of what came to mind first. But before I go into the bad, I really, really, really want to emphasize how important it is to protect your space on social media. Because your mental health, and this is me too, I'm talking to myself, your mental health is going to be a direct reflection of what you engage in on social media. So if you're following these influencers, if you're following people who make you feel bad, who have you second guess everything, who make you feel insecure, unfollow them, mute them, block them. If it's on TikTok, say you don't want videos like this, right? Like there are things that you can do to create a safe space for yourself. So if any of these bad, quote, things that I'm going to talk about when it talks about how social media has impacted fitness, really, really, really understand that you can control a little bit more than you think. I'm not saying that, you know, we're, as consumers, we're responsible for what other people are putting out or what social media as a whole has done, because at the end of the day, we are engaging in it by choice. But there are some things that you can do. And I think I've even become a lot more conscientious of these things with my own social media account when it pertains to both fitness, but also business and entrepreneurship. I think that there is kind of two sides of the spectrum for me. And I really need to do a lot of self-reflection after I have a session of just like being on social media. I'm like, okay, how did that make me feel? Like, am I feeling good and inspired and like ready for the day? Or am I just kind of feeling like meh and like overwhelmed? So take that with a grain of salt. All right. First thing that social media, I think, has impacted fitness in a negative way is, of course, misinformation. With the rise of social media becomes the rise of likes and follows and friends and whatever. And with that comes the want to become viral. So people will say the darndest things to get the likes and the follows and everything like that by having these insane hooks. Because if they say something that is extremely controversial or just out of the box, or for the sake of this, like not true, they know that they're going to get comments. They know they're going to get reposts. They know they're going to get stitches and all of this stuff. And that drives their social media presence up. And then they can run ads or get more brand deals or whatever. So this obviously isn't everybody, but I've seen a lot of people who have just had these outlandish claims, and that's clearly why they're doing it. But there's just so much misinformation out there and people saying this is what worked for them, but not really understanding the difference between correlation and causation. There's a lot of people who just even cite resources, but don't even read the studies. And like, I'll go in there and I'll be like, what is this actually saying? And I'm like, oh, this has nothing to do with what they're saying it proved, you know? So even stuff like that, which is kind of crazy. But, you know, I see people every single day who are like, oh, don't eat oatmeal. Oatmeal's bad. You know, don't eat fruit. Fruit is bad. Don't eat this. Don't do this. Oh, you know, you need to cycle sync your workouts or else you're going to become inflamed and it's bad for your hormones. Like, there's just so much stuff that maybe is applicable to somebody with a certain diagnosis or somebody like 1% of the population that falls into this category. And because that is something that worked for them or something that they applied that worked or solved this issue for them, they blow it up as like the secret or like what's gonna work or like they've been lying to us, telling us that, you know, you need to lift weights, but really it's about Pilates. And it's like, what are we even talking about? Like, you really think that this is going to work for every single person? And that's part of the reason why on my social media, I don't ever speak in absolutes, right? You will see me talk about what I'm doing and I will still be like, hey, if this doesn't work for you, that's fine. If something else you're doing is working for you now, great, keep doing it, right? I talk about tracking my macros and I'm like, macro tracking isn't for everybody, right? Because I know if I come out here and I say, hey, I'm, you know, in a cut right now and I'm losing weight, I'm tracking my calories, someone's going to comment and be like, well, I'm losing weight and I'm not tracking calories. And I'm like, okay, like I didn't say you couldn't, you know, people on social media really like to have an opinion, right? Because having an opinion makes you feel valuable. It makes you feel like I have something to say. Better listen up, right? So people are going to want to share their opinions. It's human nature to want to feel heard. We really like hearing ourselves talk, right? As I record this podcast. But honestly, like it's very telling. And that could lead very easily into the category of misinformation if we're not careful. And I think as a consumer, really look out and be like, okay, are these things really too good to be true? And if they are, then yes, they probably are. They probably are too good to be true if it seems as such. So that's really the biggest one, is there's no quality control over what people are saying, what blows up, what goes viral. And I think a lot of people, I mean, it's understandable. You think just because something has a lot of likes and comments and views and follows, like it must be true. They must be important. They must know what they're talking about. You know, it can be something that's pretty scary. Switching directions into something gym related that I think is impacted is actually more in gym intimidation. And it's kind of a double-edged sword because in the good, quote, like good list, I put that I think it's been empowering for women in the weight room, especially to see other women on social media going into the gym and lifting and all that stuff. And I do stand by that. Like I go into the gym today and I see way more women in the weightlifting section and in the free weight section than I did when I was in college. So I think that that's great. But the downside in general, not just for women, but I think for everybody, is they have gym intimidation, especially if you go into the gym and you see a bunch of people who have all the clothes, they look the part, they have the tripod, they know what they're doing. And on social media, maybe you see a couple videos where somebody's in the back, or there are even, it's so hard, but there are even videos of people like pointing out people in the back of their videos, like, what are they doing? There are people who are taking gym videos and reviewing them without their consent, right? So I think it's a very slippery slope of like, I'm posting my workouts versus like, I'm exploiting somebody else who had no consent to be in this video, right? And I go to a gym where everybody has a camera, everybody has a tripod, not everybody, but I would say 50%. Like I am actively avoiding tripods when I'm putting weights back 90% of the time. And that's just the type of gym that I go to. I don't feel weird filming in there. And I think it's just kind of one of those gyms where people do that. But there are definitely gyms that don't allow filming. And I think, honestly, for good reason. Like, I understand that. And I think that it can kind of be a double-edged sword again, because it's great that more people are on social media posting their workouts, encouraging other people to go to the gym. But then you go to the gym and you feel like if you mess up or you don't know how to do something, you're just surrounded by all these experts who have the gym as their full-time job. And you're like, okay, well, am I even good enough to be here? Like, you know, I remember asking myself those questions back in the day, and I've changed my mind on so many things. I went in and I had such trash form in the gym. Like, even if you scroll back on my social media,
oh my gosh, you're gonna see the worst form videos, the worst things that I don't agree with anymore. Like, obviously this is before I became a coach and all that. Like, this is years ago, but they're all still there. So if anyone wants to take a scroll on back, be my guest. And yeah, we all start somewhere. But I think that's something that has just become so much more prevalent now, is like, since everybody's posting everything, it's very easy to compare, like, okay, does she know what she's doing? Like, am I going to be in the back of somebody's video? Like, you know, and I definitely think that you shouldn't have gym intimidation. And I love working with clients who they're going to the gym for the first time, and like, I'm helping them through that. But I do think that a big part of it is like, where you go to the gym. Like, what gym do you engage in? Is your gym environment conducive with what you're comfortable with? And if not, change gyms. Like, truly.
The next thing that I want to talk about, specifically with social media and the fads that go on in the fitness industry, there are a lot of fads. When I first joined the scene, that was the era of if it fits your macros, right? Everybody was posting sugar-free artificial syrups. If you know what Walden Farms is, you're an OG, right? That was a zero-calorie syrup. They had a bunch of zero-calorie crap. A lot of protein cookies, protein bars, protein pudding, whatever, you name it, there was a protein version of it. It was just the era of everybody wanted to make everything protein dense. And then the pendulum swung in the complete opposite direction. And I think we're kind of still in that realm now. I don't think it's as bad as it was in 2021 and 2022. But the realm of the gut health and the whole foods and the stress reduction. And I mean, like, this stuff's like fine, right? Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you to not eat whole foods and to eat artificial stuff. But with that comes the natural fear mongering of, this was me before I made the switch, and this is me after, and look how much better I look and how much less inflamed I am and all of that stuff, right? And it's very easy to take that too far to now we're thinking that in order to look this way, we have to buy $60 a month green supplements. We have to never do this or eat this or only train this low impact way or cycle sync your workouts. And this is something that every woman should be doing, and we're just so fragile and blah, 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 right? And again, if you are somebody who does resonate with one or more of those things, that's fine. And if you think that one or the more of those things works for you, that is fine. But we're taking that, and social media is taking that and creating a fear-mongering tactic around it to go more viral, to sell more products, and just to instill people that their way is superior and everybody's going to get, quote, better results from it, which is not true. Because again, going back to my original point, not one thing is going to work for everybody. If one thing worked for everybody, everybody would be walking around at their ideal physique. Right? There wouldn't be a diet culture because everybody would have solved their problems. But that doesn't happen. Okay. If there was a one size fits all solution and it was that easy, I would be selling it to you. I promise you. With what we're doing with coaching and what I'm preaching about on this podcast and what I'm living in my day to day life, if there was an easier way, I would be doing it. I'd be doing it. But there's not. So please take that with a grain of salt as well and really consider thinking that. And it all goes back to, if you think it's too good to be true, it probably is. And hard work is going to be a part of whatever you do, whatever lifestyle change you choose to make. I think a lot of people who listen to this podcast, who engage in my content, and even people who are a part of the Fit Breakthrough, we value health. Right? Of course, we want to be feeling good along the way. We want to have a good relationship with food, but we also want to change our body composition. We want to gain muscle. Maybe you want to lose body fat. You want to look toned. You want to look lean. You don't want to track macros forever, right? So I think that's kind of the caliber of, person who follows me. So if that is you, hey, what's up?
But that's just who I am. And that's who Coach Laura is. And that's who Coach Evelyn is. And so I think just by sharing our stories, that's who we attract. But I'm not saying that our way is the best way or you can't do something else. But watch for that marketing and like propaganda of like, it's our way or the highway. Like, you need to cut this out, or you need to add this into your day, or you need to do this because it worked for me. Doesn't mean it's going to work for everybody. Playing into that, because of the rise of people following fitness influencers, right? Because since more people are going to the gym in general and a lot more women are weightlifting and stuff like that, I feel like it's normal to gravitate towards following more people and being inspired by them. And I think that's wonderful. But something very interesting that happened specifically in 2020 through, I would say, the beginning of 2022, is a lot of these fitness influencers who I was following back in 2016 and 17 and 18 and 19, who were bodybuilding, who were training, you know, weightlifting, hypertrophy training, strength training, getting stronger, you know, going to the gym, doing their normal gym splits, you know, kind of doing what I was doing. And that's why I followed them. They started going towards the yoga and the Pilates and the F45 and all of that stuff. Again, is that bad? No. Okay. But if you just started following this person and you think that their physique was built, and if you think that the muscle on their frame was built from doing burpees at F45 and doing hot yoga, you would be mistaken. And that's not the influencer's fault, but I do think it's an interesting phenomenon, because around that time when this was happening, I was coaching, and more people would come to me and say, you know, on calls with these women, I would hear them and they would be like, well, I follow this person and they don't do F45, or they only do F45, and that's what I'm doing, but I don't look the way that they look. And I really had to break down and tell them, okay, I follow this person too. Did you know that for 6 years they competed in bodybuilding? And they'd be like, no. And I'm like, okay, well, they did. And all they did was strength train. And they built up such a muscle base and such a foundation that now they're transitioning. Maybe they lose a little bit of muscle, but that still, that quality of base is there, right? And they're still maybe supplementing some weight training on the side, or certain days per week, like maybe one upper body, one lower body day, maintaining some of that muscle mass. But they worked very hard to build it, and they've been doing this for many years. And we have women on the team who do these classes, but they also supplement weight training, because if you have a niche goal, it requires a niche approach. But I think that that's very interesting, and it's a good reminder that if you just pop on to somebody's page, you have no idea what they've been doing years leading up to what they're doing now. So becoming a more educated and skeptical consumer and being like, okay, just because I'm seeing them do this workout or eat this thing or take this supplement does not mean that that's the answer. It does not mean that that is what got them to this point. Something else that was very interesting is I actually had a client send me a reel of somebody, and they said it was a year progress photo, and it was before and after, and she looked completely different. And this client was like, how come I haven't changed this much in a year? And she has. And I was like, let me do some digging, because like, this is pretty crazy. Because I didn't follow this influencer, but I had just seen her stuff like from way back in the day. So I was like, that's really interesting. This is like so recent of a year for her. And I go back, and she had just had a baby before taking that first photo. She did mention that in the very bottom of her check-in, that the first photo was like directly postpartum and that second photo was a year after. And please keep in mind, she had been living this fitness lifestyle. She was a fitness influencer for literally years prior to having a baby. So talk about having the habits and the muscle built and all that stuff, right? But I told this client that. I said, do you realize that this first picture is postpartum, and if you look at her profile, she has hundreds of thousands of followers. She's been doing this for years. And my client was like, oh, I didn't realize that. Okay, well, that makes me feel, you know, better. And I'm like, yeah, like, we need context for these things. And again, it's not up to the influencer to give you every disclaimer and every sort of piece of context for every single person, because we'd be here all day. That's impossible, right? So it's up to you to kind of look at that and be like, okay, you know, it's not only about those examples. They could be editing photos, okay? They could have been just in this journey longer than I have. They could have been, honestly, taking gear. That's not uncommon, especially for women. Well, and men, but I think women, it's surprising how much people are not natural, especially in the bodybuilder space. Again, is it bad? No. Is it up to the person to talk about it in every single post? No. But I think that it's just something to consider and think about, because it's very interesting. And I think if you're not somebody who's very deep into following people and looking at context and reading captions, you're just comparing, and you're like, well, they saw all this progress and I didn't, so I'm a loser and I'm never going to see this change. So I'm just going to give up now, and I'm going to go back to this keto diet that I had because this isn't working, right? That's of course what we want to avoid. And I think that this is an important piece of that conversation to be had.
And then finally, the last point that I'm going to make on this, and I think it's one of the most important things to recognize, is that when it comes to fitness and how it's progressed on social media from when I started posting and engaging in that content to now, is the term influencer is much more popular. It is much more popular. You have these people who it seems like all they do is go to the gym and promote clothes. And even me, I mean, I spend majority of my time sitting at my desk, but I can go to the gym when I want. I can, you know, kind of create my own schedule. It's very easy for you to look at the people who are posting those things and think that it's your schedule versus theirs. They have the ability to make more time for themselves. They can leisurely go to the gym and film themselves and take photos, and they're there for 2.5 hours. They get to make all their meals at home. They get to have food sent to them and like try all these new fun meals and stuff like that. And you're sitting here being like, okay, I work shift hours overnight, or I have shift work overnight, or I have 2 kids who are both in school. I have to drive them to extracurricular activities, and I don't have time to meal prep, and I don't have time to do all these things. It's very easy to fall into the comparison trap of thinking that my schedule is less optimal than theirs, therefore I cannot succeed. And that is a really big reason why when I post our client transformation photos, I like to give context into what their schedule looks like. Because if you have preconceived notions over what you need to do or how much time it's going to take for you to reach your goals, that's going to stop you from starting, because you're going to think, well, I'm too busy. I don't have the resources. I don't have the time. I don't even have a gym membership even. Therefore, I can't reach my goals because I see this person who, yeah, she has a great physique, but I just don't have the time and the resources that she has. And we need to get out of that mindset, okay? Because that is keeping you stuck. Am I going to say you're magically going to have 3 hours a day to go to the gym? No. But am I going to say you can always seek more education and more improvement with what you're currently doing to get you at least one step closer every single day to your goals? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's also why I like to mention my days back in grad school, when I was working a corporate job. And maybe I'll do a whole podcast on how I fit fitness into life when I was working my corporate career, because it wasn't for a very long period of time, but it was very long hours, like 12 to 14 hour days, ordering in food, right, as a team and things like that, not having a lot of optimal time to go to the gym, having to really change around my schedule and also my goals to fit busy seasons of the work, because I truly just needed to prioritize my own health at that point. And of course, I haven't been through all the seasons of life that I'm going to be through, right? I'm not a mom.
I've never experienced that. And I'm never going to act like I know what it's like. But I can tell you that we've coached many moms. We've coached everybody from a lot of different walks of life to success, to changing their body composition, to becoming healthier for them and their family. So it is incredibly possible. But I think that if you were feeding yourself this social media concept of, oh, I only follow fitness influencers. Oh, look how nice they have it. Oh, it must be nice to have this schedule and not these responsibilities and stuff like that. You are teaching yourself to have a fixed mindset over what it takes and what you're capable of doing, point blank. And that's never going to get you one step closer to where you want to go. It's not. That's not solving any of your issues. Like, what's going to happen? Are you going to quit your job and leave all your responsibilities? No, of course not. So what's the next best option? It's look at your schedule, meet yourself where you're at, and create an environment where you are making the least amount of change that yields the biggest result. You're starting with habits. You're auditing your day, right? That is what we do with our clients. We're teaching them, okay, how do we start with what you're doing now? But we're making these tweaks to allow you to feel better, to allow you to get the ball rolling of like, okay, I do have what it takes to be disciplined and see progress. That is what we want to start with. Okay. You don't want to cram a schedule that you think is optimal into your life, because that's never going to work long-term. You hear about it with people who are on these very crazy 8-week diets, and maybe you did it yourself, where you have this meal plan and you have to wake up at the crack of dawn to make sure that you get all your meals ready. How long are you going to be doing that for? Not long. You're going to burn out, right? It's exciting to start something new, but don't confuse excitement with an inability to sustain what you're doing. Because that will never get you to where you want to be. And neither will comparing yourself to other people on social media whose schedules are nothing like yours and whose responsibilities are nothing like yours. I even hear it a lot with people who are in their late 30s and 40s and 50s. They're like, well, I know what it's like when you get older. You know, I'm not like those 20-year-old influencers anymore. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you're right. You're not 20. But are you really sitting here telling me that you can't lose weight and you've tried everything and that's going to stop you from trying to, you know, adopt a lifestyle change for yourself, knowing that there are improvements that you can make in your life? Is that really benefiting you and your mental health? No, it's not. It's not. You could have like the craziest schedule in the world, but I guarantee you, if you sit with yourself and audit your habits, you will find places that you can improve and decisions that you can make that are for the better. Okay, so that's really what I want to leave you with. And that's really the synopsis of what I think social media has done for the fitness community, both the good and the bad. So very eager to hear your thoughts on this subject. I know I could have gone a lot of different directions with this. Pretty happy with what I talked about, with how this turned out. And I hope that I inspired you to audit your social media. I hope I inspired you to adopt a growth mindset when it comes to what you're capable of doing. And I think finding a community within the community of social media who are like-minded like you, who have similar schedules, who have similar responsibilities, is going to lead you to a place where you feel like, okay, yeah, like this is possible. And I think, honestly, that's why we value community so much at the Fit Breakthrough. Because everyone on our team has crazy schedules. They all want to change the trajectory of their life. They want to change their body composition. A lot of them are moms. A lot of them are nurses. A lot of them are travel for work, you know, entrepreneurs, students. There's a large group of people, you know, different walks of life, but at the same time, we all have different responsibilities and we can help each other out along the way. And so I think finding a group like that, instead of just relying on, oh, inspiration from influencers who have this perfect life and it must be nice, like that's not going to cause you to want to take action. So find people who inspire you, find people who are like-minded like you, and you freaking got this.
So thank you guys so much for listening. And like I said, there's not going to be a podcast next week, But I hope that you enjoyed this. I hope that you go back. You can always listen to my previous episodes. There are a couple good gems in there, I think. I mean, I'm a little bit biased, but you know. But yeah, I hope you have a wonderful week. I can't believe it's Thanksgiving week already, and then feels like we're on to Christmas. 2024 is just around the corner. So let's make it a wonderful end of the year, and let's start 2024 on the best note possible. All right, thanks so much, guys, and we will chat soon.